I have not gotten a chance to talk to J.B. Pritzker since the day after the election, after the primary election. It's good to have you back. J.B. Pritzker, morning, sir. How are you?
Great to talk to you, Tom. I'm doing great.
I know you're busy. You've got a bus tour. Is this day three of your bus tour?
This is our bus tour that we actually, I think this is our third bus tour, I think. And
right.
I'm really excited. We've been all up and down the state, 30 stops, 1,700 miles. We've really got all the big players in the Democratic Party who are involved in this bus tour, from Durbin and Duckworth to Mendoza, Mike Frerichs, Kwame Raoul, Jesse White, and then all the candidates running for state house, state senate, and county board. Party's unified. I'm really excited about it.
Well, it's a big bus to get everybody on there. So,
well, they're coming on and off. I admit it's not that big a bus.
Right. So, and what's interesting, because you're going into the Metro East in the bus, this bus tour concludes at the state fair in Springfield on Democrat Day, but in a couple of weeks, you're going to be here in Southern Illinois.
That's right. I'm excited to come see it.
Yeah, looking forward to it, too. President Obama, former president, you were one of 81 candidates he endorsed about 2 weeks ago.
Well, I'm really excited to have President Obama's endorsement. It's a real honor. And, just a few of us here in Illinois, President Obama did a great job representing us in the United States Senate. And then, of course, as president, I think, more and more people see that, he was an honorable person who served in the White House for 8 years, no scandals. And he's a really, really good person. So I'm just pleased and proud to have his endorsement.
I know I've heard the no scandals thing. Every presidency has some type of scandals. Fast and furious, I would think, would be, right? No?
Well, the truth is that if you look at, this president and prior presidents, over a course of 8 years even of other presidents, you saw lots and lots of different kinds of scandals throughout the administration. Here you've got one now where, a year and a half in, there have been a bunch of them. But I look back at President Obama's term and I think, good family, good person.
When I try to step back as far as I can, because, once you're in it real close, your perspective can get blown, right? I mean, but when you try to step back as far as you can and see what the big issue in Illinois, I'm not sure, but I think it's the Illinois exodus and taxes, that those two things, that we have to do something to stop people. I mean, some estimated since 2010, 700,000 people, 33,000 last year. Chicago, the only top 10 metropolitan city, according to the census, to lose population. The tie-in between exodus and taxes seems to be, I think when you look at the health of the city, the health of this this state, that's where I end up.
Well, and I'd add to that list. I think you're right. I'd add to that list, though, job creation in central and southern Illinois. Illinois is in the bottom third of states in terms of job creation and job growth. So, we got a lot of work to do. There's no doubt about it. But, I've put forward plans for addressing all of those issues. I think it's critically important that we lower property taxes across the state, change the tax system to make sure that Bruce Rauner and I and other wealthy people pay a higher rate, that the middle class and those striving to get there pay a lower rate. In fact, under my plan, the vast majority of Illinoisans would get a tax break. But this new system would allow us to pay for schools better and lower local property taxes, because we've got an incredibly unfair tax system in Illinois. I just talked to a couple yesterday who moved from Indiana to Illinois to be with their grandchildren, and they said their property taxes quadrupled with the same size house. And that's just not fair, and it drives people away, and it drives people to say they're not going to move to Illinois. That's why we've got to do something about the property tax system. But Bruce Rauner, his answer was this year to propose pushing $1 billion of liability, in fact, of expenditure, down to the local level, which would cause a huge increase in property taxes. That's just not right. I think we got to lower property taxes. Apparently, Bruce Rauner wants to raise them.
Now, here's the interesting thing. When I dissect some of the things I just heard you talk about, one, our jobs. All right. Now, here's the thing. We've have more jobs then we have people who are willing to seek jobs. But on the other hand, what you were talking about was workforce development, because people who have jobs, one of the reasons why we can't get them is because they're not qualified. They don't know how to get the job done in these particular cases. So, I mean, you can have this argument. We don't need workforce development. We've got jobs. We just don't have people to fill them. But look, we do. But on the other hand, they don't show up. They can't. They don't know how to do this or that. They don't know how to weld. They don't know how to do a lathe, whatever the case.
And not every job is equivalent to every other job. I mean, we need good paying jobs. We need the jobs that, you know, someone can have and be a head of household. Today, the jobs that are getting created for people are minimum wage, and our minimum wage is lower than it should be. In my view, we got to create jobs. Bruce Rauner hasn't created all that many jobs. I've created thousands and thousands of jobs just in my own life, starting what is now the number one business incubator in the entire world. And, you know, it's created not only more than 7,000 jobs, but hundreds of small companies. I think that is how we're going to help create good jobs in this state, is helping people start companies, you know, 1,000 flowers blooming across particularly central and southern Illinois. As you're pointing out, you know, we've got skilled jobs, and then we've got people who could fill them if they had the skills. So my view is the good paying jobs, those skilled labor jobs, you know, if we had vocational training, career technical education in our high schools, and we emphasized that, did that all over the state, that we could raise up the income levels of people across Illinois. You know, incomes have been stagnant, wages stagnant across the state. At the same time, the cost of health care is going up. The cost of higher education is going up. I'm addressing all of those issues in order to put money back on the table for middle-class families.
You know, there was one other item that I noticed, and this is I hearing you fine-tune the message, and when you were talking about millionaires like you and Rauner should pay a higher rate, because so often we'd heard that, you know, kind of misrepresented. What we're talking about is a percentage of income. And I think that's good that we look at it that way, as opposed to some of the other ways it's been misrepresented. It's interesting. You were just talking about going to school. They're talking about now a new study by the United States College, students will owe $2 trillion in loans by the year 2021.
It's crazy, and remember that not only are people racking up all that debt, but that debt, that student debt, is coming at a very high interest rate. So many people are spending decades of their lives paying off student loans that they took out when they went to college or went to graduate school, and they're paying them off at 7, 8, 9, sometimes 10 and above percent. I think we've got to do something about that, and you'll see, you know, I've put forward plans for addressing college debt for people who already have it, as well as college tuition for people who want to go to college, because I think anybody who wants to go to college in Illinois should be able to. Remember, we've got some of the most dedicated, educated workers in the entire nation. That is what businesses are looking for. It's that talent. Right? It's not just the lowest tax level or the lowest workplace safety so they can make an extra buck on the factory floor. Those businesses are looking for a replenishing supply of really high-skilled talent. And we, historically in Illinois, have had that. But under Bruce Rauner, the massive cuts in community college funding, university funding, and no vocational training additions, I mean, almost none across the state of Illinois, at a time when we need to increase people's skills, we have got to reverse all of that, or else Illinois really is going to be in trouble.
Some messages coming in about your appearance this morning on the show. Murfreesboro Mayor Will Stevens just messaged me and says, does economic development include investing in a four-lane highway from southern Illinois to St. Louis?
We have got to invest in infrastructure. How long has it been since we had an infrastructure bill in this state? I mean, almost 10 years. And Bruce Rauner promised it when he came into office. 3.5 years in, he's done nearly nothing about it. In my view, we've got to not only roads, which are hugely important, bridges, waterways. We also have to invest in vertical infrastructure. You know, Cahokia High School, just to give you an example, I mean, it's crumbling. And that's happening in high schools all across southern and central Illinois. We've got to invest in those schools as well as our universities, which have great opportunity as long as we upkeep those vertical infrastructure buildings.
Another question coming in from a listener, Ricky, this morning, messaging me and saying, asked Mr. Pritzker, would he follow suit with New York and California in the banning of semi-automatics and magazines?
Well, I think it's really important that we address gun safety. I'm a believer that sportsmen have rights, and we've got to uphold those. At the same time, we've got children who are dying in metro areas like in Chicago, but also Peoria. Rockford's got a higher rate of violent crime than Chicago has. So we've got to address not only the implements of the crime, but also we've got to address the underlying root causes. And that means addressing poverty, making sure that we're providing jobs, creating jobs, particularly our youth. So making sure that we continue the programs that have worked historically. Remember, under Bruce Rauner, no budget for 2 years, a third year where he vetoed the budget. That meant that many of the programs that interrupt violence, the things that provide jobs for those kids during the summer as well as all year round, the things that provide the violence interruption on the streets, like Ceasefire, I don't know if you've heard of that, or Cure. These are all programs that the state was funding at a time when violent crime in the state was much lower. But when Bruce Rauner cut all those programs, it had a deleterious effect on crime all across the state. So we're going to have to address not only the implements of crime, but the root causes.
Well, but what about the ban in New York and California? Would you support banning semi-automatics and magazines in the state of Illinois?
Well, I don't think there obviously are really high capacity magazines that need to be made illegal. And bump stocks, heck, you know, that seems like a no-brainer to me. It's something that should have been easy to do. Bruce Rauner hasn't led on it. You know, he talks about it sometimes, but he's never led on it. I think the real weapons of war, those need to be absolutely banned. But, you know, meanwhile, there are obviously people who have, they're sportsmen, people who've grown up as hunters, taught their kids to hunt. I think all of those, you know, to me, that and protecting oneself when you're living in a rural area, you know, and it takes a long time for officers of the law to come protect you if you were to call them, you got to protect yourself. I think we've got to keep that in mind as we're contemplating how we're going to reduce violence.
But can we forget the original reason for the Second Amendment is not for hunting, it's to defend against a tyrannical government?
Well, at this point, I think people who are, you know, living in rural areas need to protect themselves from, you know, home invasions and other issues. And then, you know, again, hunters' rights are something I consider all the time when I think about what we need to do to reduce violence. We've got to make sure and protect our hunters' ability to, you know, continue that way of life.
You know, we are looking at one of the most expensive gubernatorial races in American history, probably beating the $310 million spent in the gubernatorial race in California, I think, 2010. I mean, does this make you uncomfortable? Because the people of Illinois seem to be uncomfortable with how much money is being spent by two people of the order of magnitude of you and Bruce Rauner. And does that make you uncomfortable?
It does. I think this is crazy. Bruce Rauner started this off in December before anybody was even running on the Democratic side. Bruce Rauner contributed $50 million to his own campaign, and then he took $20 million from the wealthiest man in Illinois. So it started out with $70 million to begin his campaign, no doubt to scare people out of the race. This is a system that's got to be changed. You got to do it, you know, first in Washington, D.C., because the Supreme Court has made rulings that make it difficult to limit the amount of money that someone can contribute. But here in Illinois, we could do a much better job. You know, I've proposed some changes to campaign finance laws. For example, I think that there are opportunities for us to allow people at lower levels to get some funding for their campaigns other than just writing big checks to their own campaigns. I think it's great when people go collect small contributions to support their campaigns. But the first thing we've got to do if we want to reverse this is beat Bruce Rauner, because he's the guy who introduced these massive amounts of money into Illinois politics.
So much has been made of your relationship with Speaker Madigan by other Democrats and by Republicans to a greater degree agreed. How do you define your relationship with the Speaker?
Well, to be clear, I'm an independent person. I've been that way my whole life. All the things that I've accomplished that you're aware about, the things like expanding school breakfasts in low-income school districts and making sure that parents have available to them quality childcare so that they could go to work, or preschool, quality preschool for every child in Illinois. Those are all things that I've been fighting hard for as an independent person. And as a candidate, I've run an independent campaign. This has been about what I believe and what I think that we need to do to stand up for working families across the state. Look, I'm going to work with the Speaker and the President of the Senate when I get elected, but only to get the things done that I think we need to do to lift up working families. That's my intention. And in fact, there are things I disagree with the leadership in Springfield about. For example, I'm in favor of leadership term limits. I know that's not something Madigan agrees with. I'm in favor of ending gerrymandering in the state. I think we should have more fair elections. I know that's something that Madigan doesn't agree with me about, but I'm going to take those views with me, and I'm going to fight hard to get those done when I'm governor. And, you know, you need someone who's actually a leader, who's demonstrated the ability to stand up as an independent person and actually get things done. Because sometimes, Tom, I'm sure everybody that's listening, and you too, you know, everybody's had to make some kind of understanding, come to some understanding with a neighbor or somebody that they didn't like and didn't agree with. But you just had to come to an agreement with them somehow. Bruce Brown has been unwilling to do that. He's unwilling to stay in the room and just hammer out a solution. That's why we went with no budget for 2 years and a third year where he vetoed it and his own party overrode him. I'm going to make sure and fight for my principles, but the people of Illinois expect that I'm going to get the job done.
Can you, Nate, can you say one good thing about the governor during his term? Was there anything good?
Sure. I mean, I think it's a hard job. I know it takes a lot out of you. And, you know, the governor, no doubt, he's, spent 3.5 years and, you know, lots been put on him. I give him a lot of credit for just the stamina of sticking with it.
You know, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, JB.
Hey, nice to talk to you, Tom, and look forward to seeing you when I'm down there.
Right. So a couple of weeks, you drop by the studio, we can talk more, because here's the thing that I'm waiting for, and this is important to me, and I think other people are listening. A detail on your tax plan. That's the thing that I'm anxiously awaiting, all the details.
Well, we've been pretty clear about those, but I'm happy to do it when I see it.
Good. Looking forward to it. I kept you a little longer than I should have, and I appreciate you me abusing your goodwill that way.
Always great to talk to you and to your listeners.